what we want to do is we want to ask this question: what can we learn from this psalm? And if you want a title to write down for this message, I've titled it Seeing Trials Through Seasoned Eyes.
Whether you're a new believer or you've walked with God for a long time, how you face the trials that come your way in life will be key to strengthening your trust and faith in our sovereign God. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and this is The Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Today, Don begins a new series titled, As We Grow Older, and he has part one of a message called, Seeing Trials Through Seasoned Eyes. Just before we get started, Don, please give us a brief introduction to this series.
I'd be happy to do that, Bill. And you know, my friend, I'm so glad that you're with us today on the Truth Pulpit. Every stage of life has its serious challenges. Young people have their difficulties and trials that they face. Young parents, young families have trials that they go through that are common to that season in life. Today we're addressing the challenges that come to those that are more advanced in their years. As we get older and our health starts to decline, as family moves away, and sometimes there are feelings of loneliness and trials that come unique to that stage of life, it is so encouraging to me to know that the Bible speaks to those issues and gives us comfort and genuine help for those that know Christ. And so I invite you to stay with us today on the Truth Pulpit as we start this series titled, As We Grow Older.
Thanks, Don. And friend, open your Bible to the 71st Psalm as we join Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
What we find in this psalm is the psalmist, who is not identified at all. There is no inscription in this psalm whatsoever. What we find is that at an age where this psalmist might have expected tranquility in his life because he had been living for the Lord all of this time, instead he found that trials were his lot. Look, for example, at Psalm 71, verse 9. As I like to do, I like to point out certain highlights to orient you, because we go through these things rather quickly. In Psalm 71, verse 9, he says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." And then in verse 18, he says, "Even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." What we have here in this psalm is a man writing this psalm who has been walking with God and serving him for a very extended period of time. And he has developed over the course of that a settled sense of trust in the tried and tested faithfulness of God. Look at verse 3, for example. He says, "Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." And then in verse 6, he says the same thing in a different way. He says, "By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." You see that adverb a couple of times, continually, continually. This is a man who has an established track record of walking with God and seeing God manifest his faithfulness through different episodes in life, through different seasons of life. And he has found through each season that God has proven himself faithful in every one of them. In verse 14, you see it again. He says, "But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." Well, and so what's happening here in Psalm 71 is this. With all of this lifetime experience of the Lord's faithful deliverances in all of his sorrows and difficulties throughout life, he has come to yet another difficulty in life that he needs the Lord's help with. And so he turns again to deliverance. He turns to God again for deliverance from those who would seek his harm and would mock him for his faith. The commentator Robert Davidson says this, and listen to this closely because it really does frame the psalm in a very helpful way, in my opinion. He says, "We are listening to the prayer and praise of a man who, nurtured in the faith from his earliest days, now in old age, reaffirms that faith as he faces a crisis in his life, end quote. And just kind of opening up the door to this psalm with a recognition, here is a man faithful through the years, having seen God's proven loyal love over time and time and time again. And what's the outcome? He's not on easy street. It's not easy for him even after that lifetime of walking with God. To the contrary, he's facing another difficult crisis. He has another set of enemies that are after his neck. And so he's turning to God once again. And I just think that it is so helpful to view reality from that perspective. We need to have a mature sense about what life is like, don't we? We've got some gray hair in here. Not looking at any of you in particular, but it's not hard to find you. We have some young people here on the front end of life, looking forward with a sense of hope and expectation, full of dreams, and that's as it should be. You know, looking forward with expectation to what life might hold. Well, that's great. That's the way that it should be. But as we do that, we need to have a realistic set of expectations about what life is going to be like. And as we get into older age, it is not realistic to think that that's going to exempt us from trials. And those of us that have been parents, and you, as you watch and your kids become adults and all of that, you understand what I mean, don't you? You know, you have these hopes and expectations for your kids, and sometimes it plays out well, and sometimes it's hard and it's disappointing, and it's they bring you grief. And I'm not speaking from personal experience on that score, mind you, but just recognizing that this is the nature of life. And so what we want to do is we want to ask this question, what can we learn from this psalm? And if you want a title to write down for this message, I've titled it Seeing Trials Through Seasoned Eyes. Seeing Trials Through Seasoned Eyes. You have a man writing this psalm who is experienced in the faith, who is strong and confident, and yet he is still in need. Let's take a look at it together here, and we'll bring these things out as we go along. First point is where we see him in his time of need. His time of need. The psalmist opens up this psalm with a prayer for help. Look at verses 1 through 4. He says, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge." Using that covenant name of God, Yahweh, the name of the covenant-keeping God of Israel, the one who keeps his promises, he's appealing to that covenant-keeping name of God as he opens up this psalm. And he says, "In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed." And so he's speaking. Here's what I want you to see. There's so much here. This psalmist is speaking from a settled principle of life as he is writing this psalm. I have taken refuge in you. He is making a comprehensive statement that my life has been one of finding my strength, my defense, my comfort, my help in you, O God. And now from that perspective, I pour out my prayer to you, because he finds himself again in the hand of the wicked. Look at verses 2 through 4. He says, "In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man, for you are my hope." Now let's take a look at a couple of things here. Notice the confidence that anchors what he is saying and how he is praying here. He calls the Lord his refuge, his rock, his fortress. In other words, he has found security over the course of his life as he turned repeatedly to his God for help in trials. Now, he's writing as an experienced man of the faith, and I want to point out something really basic to you, especially for you young Christians starting on the front end of life. Maybe your faith hasn't been tested too much by serious, difficult, heart-wrenching trials, but here's what you have to see. It's like anything else. It's like being in sports. It's like being in business. It's like raising a family. You have to deal with situations and you deal with them one by one. And the way that you come to this place, beloved, the way that you come to this place of settled trust and confidence in your later years is by trusting God through the difficulties that come one by one. Individually, they may not seem like much, or individually, they may seem overwhelming. But as trials come into your life, your responsibility and the way that you grow in faith is as each trial comes, you turn to God and you trust Him. You walk with Him. You humble yourself under the weight of the trial. And you don't run from it, but rather you patiently persevere, taking your refuge, finding the comfort and the solace and the strength of your soul in the midst of the person of God, and not by trying to change your circumstances. Beloved, you young people over to my right, if you would embrace that as a principle by which you would live, you will find yourself in this place of confidence that the psalmist writes in toward the end of his life. Strong faith is developed by walking through trials, not running away from them. That is the only way that you are going to learn that God is your refuge, that God is your strength, that God is your fortress. And you must stay in the trial. You must not run from it, but you must learn to look to God for the satisfaction of your soul when there is nothing external to prompt that gladness in your heart. That's how you grow through your trials. That's how you become a strong man or woman of faith. This is how you maintain a strong testimony for Christ. And I ask you, my beloved friends, isn't that what you want to be? Isn't that what you want more than anything? When you search out the deepest depths of your heart, the redeemed heart should say, whatever else happens to me in life, I want to be known as someone who is faithful to my God. I want to be known as someone who is faithful to Christ. I want to be someone whose life is a manifestation that God is faithful through all of the ups and downs that inevitably come to us in life. Isn't that what you want? It's not quite rhetorical, but we'll treat it as rhetorical. You don't have to answer out loud. But I believe that to be true about you. I believe that that's what you want. What we find here in this psalm is the path to be known for that as your lifelong testimony comes by one, dealing with those difficult trials as they come and submitting in trust to whatever God brings to you in your life and looking to Him and asking Him to sustain you and help you through it all. And yes, sometimes it may seem to be crushing the very breath of life out of you because it is so hard and so grievous and so difficult. And you have that sense of pressure on you that sometimes makes it difficult to breathe. Well, beloved, it's in that time where you most turn in trust to your refuge, your rock, and your fortress. And that's what this psalmist has done. His faith was settled. His faith was not open for discussion. It wasn't open to negotiation. And it is that position of strength and that position of maturity that puts him in a position in this psalm to ask for help in his difficulties. And what you find in this psalm, what you find from this psalmist is that he has thought deeply about the nature of God and the nature of life, as I will show you in just a moment. This psalm opens up to us the reality that deep spiritual thinking is the key to having this kind of faith. And deep spiritual thinking, beloved, does not come from always looking to have the most favorable circumstances that you can possibly have. We recognize that sometimes God brings trials into our life that are going to test us, that are going to sanctify us, that are going to purify us, that are going to expose sin in our heart even. And through that, we don't run, we don't hide, we submit to the trial and we let God do His work. And what do we find as we do that? What do you find on the on the far end of that process. Well, you young people, you young adults, look, this is the testimony that you want to aim your life for. This is where you want to be 20, 30, 40 years from now, being a person who can say something like this that we find in verses 5 and 6, where the psalmist says, look at it there with me. He says, "For you are my hope. You are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." Look at the perspective that he has on life and the way that he is thinking about life. He is thinking about more than this window of difficulty that he faces at the hands of his enemies. He steps back, as I often do, but I can't do it because I'm stuck to the pulpit mic. He steps back from his problem and he looks at life from the big picture perspective. So much so that he recognizes that this God who is his God today was God over his life when he was born. He is looking at life as a unit, as a complete big picture. And he looks back to his time of birth. He recognizes that God had sovereignly appointed him to be a man of God even at birth. And he says, "God, I look back and I see that even when I was born, you were there orchestrating my life and you were covering me and protecting me before I even knew it." That's the way to think. That's a right way for us to think. Those of you that are Christians here today, to look back and recognize that even when you were first born, God had his hand on you. It's not that he suddenly took notice of you when you cried out to be saved. No, God has been sovereign over the whole thing, not only to birth, but extending back to Calvary and extending back into eternity past, where the scriptures tell us that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so, with some of you, we've had this conversation in the past, where you look back and you recognize that even before you were a Christian, God was sovereignly directing and protecting you from evil associations, protecting you from sin that would have wrecked your life, protecting you from death even when you were exposed to illness or an accident or a near miss in life. Well, how should we think about those things? How can we think biblically and spiritually about those things? We look at it this way and we say, oh, you know what? Even before I was in Christ, God had his hand on me to protect me because God had it in his mind that he was going to work through my youth, work through my childhood, work through and bring me to a point where I would be his and I would one day be an established man of faith in Christ. So that we don't look back at the past and see it as a series of random events. Rather, we see the guiding hand of God through it all and recognize the surpassing supremacy of the sovereignty of our Savior, the surpassing greatness of his plan for us, the surpassing and comprehensive nature of his plan for our lives. Now, stay with me here. When you have that perspective, you know what it does? When you have that perspective that about all of life, well, then that starts to inform the perspective that you have of your individual trials when they come up, whether they be light or whether they be heavy. They say, ah, the God who guided me from birth is the God who has his hand on me here now. And maybe with a broken heart, maybe with tears streaming down my cheeks, but I'm going to look to him with a sense of confidence that he will be good to me and deliver me and help me just like he always has done. That's how you develop into a mature person of faith. And what he's doing here, I love this. I told you I love this psalm. Look at verse 6 with me. Here. Well, let's go to verse 5 again. I know we've read them already, but he says, "You are my confidence from my youth." He can look back with spiritual binoculars into the depth of his memory, and look back at the earliest moments, the earliest memories of his young age and says, "You were my God back then." But he doesn't stop with his conscious memory. He looks beyond his conscious memory and says, "God, you were my God from birth. You were always my God." And what he means by that is that the Lord was, "Lord, you were keeping me before I was even aware of it." And that language reminds us of a similar, parallel, but more familiar passage in Psalm 39. Why don't you turn there with me? Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. Look how deeply the psalmists recognize the hand of God in their lives, going back even to their conception and their time in their mother's womb. Verse 13 of Psalm 139. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. God, you have appointed my life. God, you formed me in my mother's womb. You have appointed the days in which I shall live. God, you are over it all. And we are to look at that and to see that we draw from that overall picture the sovereign care and sovereign love of God that informs our perspective as we go through day by day life. And so he has a very rich and robust faith that he is expressing in what he says here. Verse 7 and 8, going back to Psalm 71. Others have noticed this lifelong display of God's goodness to him. He says in verse 7, I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. He says, many have observed this. Now, that could be taken as it's a warning to the wicked. Some see it that way. Some see it as he's making a statement that the faithful, the righteous, the ones who love his God also have seen it. And whatever the case may be as to who the audience of which he's speaking here is, here's the point. That God's provision for his life and his ongoing praise to this God have had a wide testimony. There has been an expansive audience to his testimony of God's faithfulness to him. And that extraordinary work calls for explanation. He says there in verse 7, for you have been my strong refuge. I become a marvel to many. Many have seen it. Why? Why this testimony? Because God, you have proven to be a strong refuge in my life. That sense of for you directs the attention away from his enemies and upward toward his God. So what's he doing here as he talks about this testimony and expresses his faith in the midst of these difficulties? One commentator said it this way. He said, he is looking to God to see through to a conclusion the work he began so long ago. Philippians 1:6, I often quote it off the cuff, says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Beloved, would you have a strong faith? Would you have a sense of confident trust that would inform the sense in which you walk through trials in this life? Would you have that? Would you want that? I do. Well, here's the way that you think about it, in part, is that you look back and you say, God, I recognize that you formed me in my mother's womb. I recognize that you have sustained me throughout, even in my pre-conversion days. I recognize that throughout my Christian life, I've gone through trials. The waves have covered me up. I've cried out for help. I've been cold and frustrated and awash in difficulties and wondered if I was ever going to survive. And God, each time, as I look back, I see that your hand has brought me through again and again and again and again. And now, God, now, having these seasoned eyes, now he looks at his present trial and says, this is just one more example. I've seen this story before. God, we've sung this song before. This is not a new hymn from the hymnal. God, this is simply another instance where I am in difficulty and I have every reason to expect that you will deliver me like you have 100% of the times before. right?
That's Don Green reminding us today on the Truth Pulpit that our wonderful God is ever faithful to walk with us through life's circumstances as we place our trust in His sovereign power. And friend, plan now to be with us next time as Don takes us further into his series called As We Grow Older. But right now, Don's here with a closing thought.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com for more information about this ministry. There you'll also find a link to Don's Facebook page. Once more, that's thetruthpulpit.com. And by the way, thanks for your support of this ministry. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.